Lord, I'm personally grateful today that you opened my eyes. I don't even understand how it happened, but you opened my eyes to see you, to know you. You revealed truth in my inner parts, Lord, and I'll never be the same because of it. I'm eternally grateful to you, Lord, for speaking to me in my darkness and bringing light, bringing me to my senses, bringing me to a place of repentance where I'd finally turn away from my life as I knew it and turn to you, really my only source of life. So I thank you today. I thank you for your word. I pray your word would speak to us today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would convey your heart. I pray the Spirit of God would speak to us and open up our understanding to see you, to hear you, Lord, so that we can respond to you. And I do ask, God, that hearts would respond to you, not just hear, but respond to what you're saying to the church this morning. So we thank you, Lord, and I ask your blessing. I ask your anointing to be upon this word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 4, and I'm really just going to look at a verse in this passage of Scripture. I'm continuing on this morning in my talk on what a vital church really looks like according to Scripture. We looked at that God basically just uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in a vital church. And we also looked at that God is in the midst of his people and works out his will according to his plan. And he's glorified through his people in the earth when they look to him, when they trust him. This morning I want to look at people that are committed to God's word. People that are committed to God's word. And I want to start with a story this morning. It's about a heathen king and a Christian bishop. And what happened was this bishop was brought before this heathen king and really his life was threatened. And he asked the king really to listen to him before he pronounced judgment on him. And he gave him a little story. And he said, "My lord, my king, I know that my life is in your hands. I know that, you know, you could do with me whatever you want right now. And at your word, my life is over. I understand that. But I want to propose something to you. Let's just say you had someone in your kingdom that was caught by your enemy in a time of war. And they did all they could to get him to become a traitor, to renounce you, to go against your kingdom. But this man would not. They threatened to strip him. They threatened to torture him. But he would not deny you, king. He would not become a traitor to you. What would you do if they released him after all that and he came back to your kingdom? How would you treat him? Wouldn't you clothe him from the garments that he had been stripped of? Wouldn't you heal and tend to his wounds and honor him because he honored you?" And then he said, "How can I deny my king when I understand that even though you strip me, even though you take my life, that I will stand before my king, and if I honor him, he will clothe me with his righteousness, and I will dwell with him forevermore, and he will honor me in his kingdom." And the king thought about it, and he said to him, "You have conquered. Go in peace." And the reality of what that story was talking about really is a picture of God's people that are committed to him. The God's people that refuse to deny their creator and their God, who refuse to deny their faith that they believe in. And what we see in Acts chapter 4 is the church being persecuted and Peter boldly standing up to his persecutors And I just want to read one verse in verse 19. When they're threatened and they're basically told, listen, if you continue to speak in the name of Jesus, you're going to suffer for it. And Peter and John answered and said to them, listen, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. And then verse 20 says, because we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard in the sight of God. In other words, you can do to us what you want, but we have to speak what we've seen and heard. We cannot deny what we know, what God has revealed to us about himself. It wasn't just about their reputation. It wasn't about their safety. It wasn't about their life. It was about God's honor. And it was about being faithful to what they know they had witnessed and experienced by their God. And we get a picture of that in 1 John when John is testifying kind of to the same thing, where he says in chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Word of God made flesh in Jesus. He's saying, we have looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. And that life was manifested, and we have seen him. We know him. We bear witness and we declare to you that the eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. God revealed himself to them through Jesus and through his words. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. There's no greater joy than dwelling in obedience in the Word of God. That's God's promise to us. So it wasn't about their reputation. It wasn't about their safety. It wasn't about their life. It was about their conscience before God. And I believe all of us as God's people are going to be tested on this in the days to come. I believe there's a gathering. I believe there's a council of evil and wicked forces figuring out how they can get God's people to deny the faith, to compromise their beliefs. And it's happening. It's already happening. Many are caving. Many are bending. Many are denying what they knew to be true at one time. And I believe we're going to be tested on that. But all Peter and John cared about was honoring God and being a faithful witness. And that's what a vital church, that's a characteristic of a vital church. People who are committed to God's word. People who want to honor God before this world. And all they cared about was whether their words or actions pleased God. And when I thought about that, I thought about Jesus. I thought about the example we have in Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 19. He said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what he does, the Son also does in like manner. That's a picture really of someone walking in obedience to the Word of God. That's really what Jesus did. That's why he was the Word of God made flesh. It says when you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. There was nothing he did that wasn't from the Father. And we're told to walk as he walked. We're told to be a witness, just like he was a witness of who the Father was in the earth. We are told as his people to be that witness. And we can't do that if we're not committed to his word, if we're not committed to please God and not man. And we're going to be tested on that. We cannot do anything. This should be our testimony. We cannot do anything but what we have seen and heard from God. Now, I've been ruined as far as what I know about God. Because 24 years ago, when I was pretty much at the end of what I thought was faith or belief in God, because my experience of Christianity was so shallow and without power, because I was disobedient, because I really didn't know what it was to abide in the Lord and have fellowship with God and be one with Him, because I was disobedient. I had a form of godliness, but I really didn't practice. I wasn't committed to the Word of God, so I had no power. I really didn't have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And I lived a delusional Christianity, a facade. It's a terrible place to be. And I was at the end of, is this even real? I was at the end of what I called faith. I was ready to throw in the towel. I had to know, is this real or not? Are these just words? Are these just stories? Or is this real? I had to know. Because one thing I did know, I was headed towards death. One thing I did know, I was empty inside. One thing I did know, I was bound by many things in my life. I was addicted to drugs. I was consumed with fear and depression and anxiety. I was suicidal. I needed something. I needed to know, is this God real or not? Are you real, God? Is this really true? And 24 years ago, God somehow opened my eyes. And I've never been the same because of it. Now, I had to embrace that. You understand? I could have denied it, because the first thing you see when He opens your eyes is your own heart and your own wretchedness. And I was undone. Like Isaiah, when he saw the Lord. This holy man Isaiah, this prophet, but when he saw the Lord, the first thing he saw was, I'm undone, I'm unclean. But then from the altar came that coal, and God cleansed his lips. And that's what happened to me. So I understand a little bit who I am, enough to finally repent, enough to finally understand why Jesus had to die for me, but also enough to understand that he still loved me and that I could be forgiven, and that all the stuff that I saw in my life that was sinful and wretched and wrong, God would cleanse and cover. God made that real to me. And when I understood that, my life was over, and basically all my other options in life were gone. I have no other option in life but to serve God. I have no other option in life but to stand on His truth and to be faithful to what I know He has made real to me. There's no other options for me. And I want to honor Him with my life, and I want to be a faithful witness. And a vital church is just made up of people like that, that just understand, who have really just embraced the truth of God's word, that He makes real through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we either embrace that light when it comes, the whole light, the whole truth, or we reject it. But if you do, you understand, you get it. There's something in you that's never the same because of it. Because the gospel, people, totally transforms your life. When that light bursts inside of you, it totally transforms your whole life. And now your whole life is centered around God and pleasing Him and honoring Him because you understand. That's what's happening here for Peter. Peter and John understand now. They blew it. They failed. They got a real reality check of who they were in Gethsemane when they rejected Jesus, when they ran. You know, all of them ran. All of them. And after Jesus rose from the dead and explained the scriptures to them, they understood. What was that like for them? What was that like for them? It's like finally the light went on. It's like they knew he was the Son of God. They knew he was the Messiah, but they didn't get the cross yet. Remember, Peter even rebuked the Lord. You're not going to the cross. But afterwards, they got it. And that's why they went out and willingly laid their lives. And that's why Peter is proclaiming, listen, I can't say anything. You can do with me what you want, but I can't say anything but what I've seen and heard. And I am going to testify of Jesus, because I am committed to him. You understand, being committed to his word really is being committed to him. It's not a book. It's not a textbook. It's God. This Bible is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. It wasn't just written by all these different men throughout the ages. They were moved by the Holy Spirit, by God, to say what God wanted to say. It's God-breathed. It's God himself revealing himself to us. That's why. Why would we not be in our Bible every day? Why would we not meditate in the Word every day? Why would we not live our lives committed to God's Word if we understood that? Well, that's what he's saying. And people, it's foundational to our faith. Without it, you're building on sand. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, because it was founded on the rock. Now, we're all going to go through things. Brother Fine has shared a situation this morning in prayer. His sister overdosed and is in ICU. And he just prayed a prayer of faith and was praising the Lord. He's struggling. He's hurting inside. But he's found it on the rock. It's not knocking him over. And we're going to be, you know, whoa, it's going to happen. But if we're trusting in God and we're doing the words of God and we're building our house on the rock, those things are going to come, but the house is going to stand. It might feel like it's not, but it's going to stand. That's why I'm fearful for a lot of, quote, Christians in America, because I believe there's a lot of houses on the sand. And the winds are going to come, and they're going to get very strong, and the shaking's going to come, and it's going to be a very violent shaking. And either your house is on the rock or it's on sand. And that's how we're going to know. And God will do that. God's going to allow that. To try everyone's faith, to test everyone's faith. So it's important now to really understand what Jesus meant when he was saying this. He said, but those who didn't do what I said, it's like building a house on sand. And when the stream beats vehemently, it falls. And the ruin of that house is great. You think about these hurricanes and these natural disasters, it's devastating. And that's what it's going to be like for people. Their lives are going to be devastated. We get a glimpse of that in Proverbs chapter 1. If you read that chapter, it's God pleading, listen to me, my son, listen to me, do what I'm telling you to do. But the picture is, you know, they're not listening. They're not heeding. They're stiffening their neck. And God basically says, if you don't listen to me, your destruction's going to come like a whirlwind. You're not even going to know what happened. But if you listen to me, you'll dwell safely. And it's out there. It's a choice for all of us. And Peter had made his choice. So we have to make our choice. Are we committed or are we not committed to doing God's word, no matter what? No matter what. Because God's true church is founded on the rock by those who are doers of the word, not just hearers only. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus gave a parable of seeds, and it's the word of God. And you understand when he encountered the disciples, that seed went into their lives. But there was a process that they had to go through so that seed would take root and it would be nourished and it would grow and it would bear fruit. And they faltered and kind of had to work through some things like we all do, but they had made up their minds. As messed up as they were, all except Judas, who I believe really never embraced the light, but all the others did. They believed, and God understands, and he understands it's a process. But they were committed from day one. Even though they messed up and they didn't understand everything fully, they were committed. They had left everything to follow Jesus. So Jesus talks about different hearts in this parable in Luke 8. And in verse 11, he explains it, and he says, the seed is the word of God. And the ones that fall on the wayside are the ones who hear. In other words, they hear the word of God. They've heard it. But the devil comes and he takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Then there's ones that fall on the rock. And they hear and they receive the word with joy. But they have no root. In other words, they have an experience, but they don't really follow through on it. So they don't get rooted in the Lord. They believe for a while, but in time of temptation, they fall away. And I believe we're going to see that in a big way. Many will fall away. Jesus said that. Many hearts will grow cold. We need to consider those things. But the ones, then there's ones that fell among thorns, and those are them who heard, but they're choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. And really, all I can say about that heart is they don't take the time to meditate, to get in the Word of God. They allow all the cares of this life to flood in and distract them. And it draws their heart away from God. But the last one, these fall on good ground. And they've heard the Word with a noble and good heart. In other words, sincere heart. And they keep it. In other words, they do it. They protect it. They guard it. And they bear fruit with patience. Then he goes on, he says, no one, when he's lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. He's describing what our lives should be. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known or come to the light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. That word here really has two meanings to it in the Greek. We think it's just hearing the word, but really what the Greek word here, there's two meanings to this word. It almost means to hear under. The first part of the word means, you know, to hear, but then the second is to come under. So it's a picture of I hear, but I come under what I'm hearing. In other words, I submit myself to it. That's really what it's talking about. So that's why Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Make sure you hear right. In other words, you come under You commit yourself to what is being said. Those are the ones that fell on the good ground, who heard the word with a noble heart, and they keep it, and they bear fruit with patience. That's a picture of, even though they're in trials, they patiently endure. And they bear fruit, even in the trials. Not like the other that withers up and, you know, it kills it. Instead, it does the opposite. It brings forth life. It brings forth fruit in the same trials. That's God's promise to us. Again, the opposite of that would be what's described in 2 Timothy 3:7. People that are always learning, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. They hear year after year after year, but they really never come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, it never really accomplishes in their lives what it's supposed to. And we have tons of that in the church today. They seldom meditate on what they hear. They derive little profit from the ordinance of God. They have no more grace now than they had several years ago. I know what that's like. I lived my Christian experience like that. I was no different like 6 years after I got saved than I was 6 years later. Actually, I was worse because I only heard. I wasn't committed to the Word of God. God's Word is precious, people. And I want to look at a psalm. So if you want to turn over there to Psalm 19, we're going to look at this psalm in closing, because I want to just convey to you how precious the Word of God and why we need to be people that are committed to His Word. Psalm 19. I'm going to start in verse 7. It says in verse 7 that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So people that are committed to God's word, His word does something in them. Okay, first of all, it says the law of the Lord is perfect. What does that mean? First of all, there's three laws, okay, that declare who God is. There's the law of nature. Romans says the creation speaks about God. So there's the law of nature that basically speaks about God. And it says people deny their creator, having just the creation as a witness to him. Then there was the law that came down through Moses, right, for thousands of years. The law teaching us what? About God, about who we are, and really the reality that no flesh can be justified in the presence of God. And then there's the law of grace, which God promised through Jesus and what he did would be written on the heart. In other words, God doing what man couldn't do by the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus did, writing his law on our hearts. That's what's in me now. That's what bears witness in me to the truth of God's word. That's why there's no options for me, because the Holy Spirit has written that in my heart. And if you have truly believed and put your faith in Christ, he's written it on your heart, and you know the truth. You can't deny it. You've heard, you've acknowledged him. You understand how guilty you were before him, but you also understand the tremendous mercy he's had on you. That's all these men were in. They understood now, and there was nothing that was going to deter them from declaring who Jesus was and the truth about him and the truth of the gospel. Because it says it converts the soul. In other words, it restores the soul. It brings it back from its wanderings and it causes it to return to God. That's what God's truth does in the human soul. And then it goes on and it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In other words, there is no error in God's word. There is no error. It perfectly speaks of who God is. You can trust in the truth of God's word. You can't trust in the opinions of man. You can't trust in the philosophies of this world, but you can trust that the word of God is a true, sure testimony of who God is. And it's able to make wise the simple. Remember what they said about Peter and John in Acts 4? They were unlearned, untrained men. And they were amazed at how God was moving through them and the things that were coming out of Peter's mouth. And they said, these men have been with Jesus. Remember, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. These men have been, so it makes wise the simple. Then verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and it enlightens the eyes. A statute is kind of like a mandate. When a king makes a mandate, that's it. It's done. And the word of God is like that. God has said it. And it's finished, and it's done, and he's going to do it. So the statutes of the Lord are right. And they rejoice the heart. Why? Because he's faithful. To those who drink and digest his word, those who are not just hearers and doers, God becomes their exceeding joy. Even in the midst of trials. Even in the midst of shaking and the world going into chaos, somehow God gives us joy in the midst of that. You understand, joy isn't laughing all giddy, and it's a knowledge inside of who God is. And inside there's just a joy of knowing I'm right with him. That I'm pleasing in his sight, and it's a heart that's fixed on something greater than my present situation. Because you're abiding in him. John 15, Jesus said, I say these things to you. In other words, if you keep my commandments, I'm saying this to you so my joy will be in you and your joy will be full. It's not morbid to follow God. It's not morbid. To be committed to God. It's a very joyful experience when you walk with God. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It's clear. It's without darkness. It's clean. You know, there's no person you can say that about. I don't care how wonderful someone is. They are not pure. No one's pure. All of us have mixed motives. The things we say, you really can't say there's nothing in there that isn't pure. I know I can't. But God's word is pure. He's not a deceiver. Everything he says comes from a pure heart, a pure motive, a pure love. It's pure. It's clean. We don't understand that much. But it says God is light. In him there is no darkness. And he enlightens our eyes. In other words, he helps us to see right. I tell people all the time, without the word of God, I'm insane. I am totally insane without the word of God. It helps me see right. It enlightens my eyes. It's like eye salve that's talked about in Revelation 3. When Jesus is trying to speak to the church and they're seeing one thing and he's seeing another. And he's saying, let me give you eye salve so you can see right. We need that as a church. We need to see right. We need to understand who we are, but yet who he is. When we do, then we'll be clothed in his righteousness. Then we'll be walking in love. Then we'll be able to love as he loved us. But not until we see right. Verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. Now really, a fear of God is just, I want to please God more than I want to please man. And that's basically what Peter was saying. Because his word is Jesus. And my whole desire in life is to be pleasing to Jesus. Verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And when we read the word of God, we need to understand it's a person. It's God himself. And Jesus really is what the Bible speaks about mostly. From Genesis to Revelation, it all points to Jesus. It all reveals who Jesus is. The book of Revelation is revealing who he is in the earth. And all the other stuff that we like to get all caught up in, it's just the earth reacting to him being revealed in the earth. More to be desired than gold. That's what our hearts should be like with the word of God. People who are committed to God's word love to read their Bibles. They love to get alone with God in his word. They love to meditate in the scriptures. They love to pray over the scriptures. They love to just sit over their Bible and let God speak to them from his word. I know I keep saying this to you guys. You need to be every day meditating, reading, praying over, applying the word of God in your lives. If you don't do that, you won't be people that are committed to his word. It won't happen. Goes on, it says, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. I can't tell you how many times I've been so grateful that God has corrected me and got me back on track through his word. Because again, remember, I'm insane without the word of God, and I easily think wrong, do the wrong things, go the wrong way. But when I'm in the word of God, when I'm faithfully meditating, praying over, reading, applying the word of God in my life, it straightens me out, it corrects me. It shows me when I'm not thinking right. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and they were talking about, you know, how we need to forgive people. And they used a pretty extreme situation, kind of like a child being molested. What do you do with that? Well, if you're committed to God's word, you have to forgive. You have to love. So you see where that goes? It means it doesn't matter what I think about something. It doesn't matter what I would do in a situation. It matters what God says if I'm truly committed to his word. And we're either going to be people committed to his word or we're not. We're either going to live out what the scriptures say or we're not. And if we don't, we're not going to be a vital church in this day that we're living. And I believe as a body, God is challenging us. Do you really, really want to be a vital church in this area? Do we? How's that going to happen? It's going to happen when all of us commit ourselves to be doers of the word. doers of the word. Because in keeping them, it says, there is great reward. In other words, if we will just do what God is asking us to do, he's going to do above and beyond what we can imagine. There is great reward in doing the words of Jesus. We need to understand that no one can follow the commandments of God without ensuring a rich, ample reward. Doesn't mean in this life. It could mean in the next life. If you read about the heroes of faith, a lot of them died, were persecuted. But do you think they didn't receive their reward when they stood before God? And that's really where our focus needs to be. But I do believe in this life there will be rewards. But it will be mostly what he does through us and for people. Because that's what we see in the book of Acts, isn't it? They suffered. They were in prison. They were all eventually killed. But how many souls, because these men, these women were committed to the word of God, how many souls came into the kingdom through their lives? See, that's what motivates me. Love. Because God is love. And God really, really wants to manifest himself through his people. More than we understand, but he can't. When we're not committed to him, when we're not committed to really being doers of the word, you will never experience the joy of the fellowship he wants with you if you continually resist being a doer of his word. You will never experience the joy of being used by God to lead a soul into the kingdom if you refuse to be committed to the word of God. I want to encourage you guys, all of you, to really think about what's being said today. Because I think we really don't think about it the way we should. We read the scriptures, we pick out little verses here and there, but do we really read it and let it read us? Do we let it challenge us? Do we let it correct us? Do we really let it speak into our lives? Do we really look for ways to apply it and live it out daily? When we're going through a situation, when we're having a hard time, do we really search out the scriptures? God, what am I supposed to do in this situation? Because God, I want to please you in this. God, I want my life to please you. I want my life to glorify you. God, so what do you say I should do? I don't know what to do. That's why I love biblical counseling, because it really is just, this is what God's word says to do in every situation. I want to be like the disciples. I'm just testifying what I've seen and heard. We cannot but speak the things, but what we have seen and heard in the sight of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is. There's some people here today, you don't know who God is. You've heard about him. Maybe even you know some scriptures about him. But you don't know who he is. He is everything. He's eternal. He's your creator. He formed you in your mother's womb. He loves you. He died for you. And he understands your condition without him. And you will never understand who he is until you start agreeing with him and what he says. And simply say, I believe. And by faith, accept what he says over what you think. If you will do that, the Holy Spirit will reveal truth in your inner parts. For some of you, God has been speaking to you for years. And you know he has. And you've pushed it off, you've pushed it off, and you've pushed it off. You can't do that forever. There will be a day when it's too late. God is speaking. Do you know God speaks? The God of the universe, he speaks. His word goes forth in the earth, and it goes through people. That's all that was happening here with Peter and John and the disciples. They were just speaking the things which they had seen and heard. They were declaring the things of God. And Peter was so under the power of the Holy Spirit that 3,000 souls came under conviction and bowed the knee to God. He hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. His word hasn't lost its power. Don't you think he can do that today? Through you? These guys were nobody special. Must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. I feel led today to give an opportunity to anyone here that's heard the word, but you've never committed yourself to it. We're going to have some baptisms here in a little while, and that's what they're saying. They get it now, Tim and his son, Justin. They get it. They heard for many years, but now they get it. And what they're saying is, we are committed. And our baptism today is basically just testifying to what we've already committed to. If there's anyone here today, you've heard. But you've never yielded to what you've heard. I want to give you an opportunity today. I'm going to ask Paul to come up. Did he leave? Okay, that's all right. Holy Spirit, don't need music. But I'm going to pray. And listen, if God is speaking to someone and you want to respond to him today, I'm going to ask you to come up here, okay? And just say, Lord, I hear you, and Lord, I'm done resisting you. I want to commit my life to you today. You don't have to understand fully what that means, but what you're saying is, I hear you, and I want to commit my life to you. I want to surrender to your word. Anyone here today, God is speaking to you. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray right now for anyone here that you're speaking to. Anyone here, Lord, that has heard your voice over and over and over again but has not responded. I pray you would help them by the power of the Holy Spirit to respond to you today, Lord. Anyone here that wants to give their life to Jesus, you just come forward. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to say yes to you today, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray this morning for all of us. Lord, I pray we wouldn't just hear. But God, I pray you would just solidify in all of us a commitment to be doers of your word, to be committed to honoring you no matter what, Lord. I thank you what you're doing in this body. I thank you, God, for how you're speaking to us. Give us ears to hear, Lord. And give us hearts, God, that would respond to you, that would seek you, that would get over your word, that would begin to examine where we're at with you, God, and how much we've really committed to what you have said in your word. God, I pray you would make us a people that would go forth out of this place, just like your disciples, declaring, witnessing in boldness to who you are, testifying of the things that we have seen and heard, Lord. God, burn it in our hearts, I pray. Give us a hunger for your word, I pray, Lord. Make us a people, Lord, committed to you no matter what. No matter what might come in the days ahead, Lord. Make us all those who would be founded on the rock. God, I pray. So I thank you today for your word, Lord. And I pray that your word would accomplish what you intended to accomplish in and through our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I do encourage you all to go home, to take time with the Lord, to get over the word of God, to meditate on the things maybe he's speaking to you. We have to do that. We have to take time with the Lord. And then examine yourself and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how can I commit my life better to you, Lord? I want my life to be pleasing to you. So take what is being shared with you and work on it yourself. Work out your own salvation throughout the week. Amen? Amen. Okay, Tim and Justin, come on up, brother. This is such a blessing for me today because I have watched the Lord work in Tim and his family. And I know Tim is a man that has decided, that has committed his family to God's word and to the Lord. So I'm going to have these guys come. This is how we're going to do this. They're going to share a brief testimony. We got some birthdays we need to share. Now, I have a tub in the back of the building. Okay? We're just starting out, so just... I got a tub in the back of the building. So we're going to, right after this, just go out these doors, around to the back of the building, or some of you can go over there and look down the railing, okay? And we're going to baptize them out there, okay? So why don't you guys come on.
Morning, afternoon, something like that. I'll just share briefly my testimony a little bit last year upon a series of events. Things happened in my life that, you know, kind of God shook me and kind of took hold of me because of the things that I was doing. I was a bad alcoholic. I did things. I ignored my family for a long time. And he shook, got a hold of me through, like I said, through a chain of events. And with help from Pastor Jeff, I finally realized, you know, I was on the wrong path. I was doing the wrong things. And I just, that's when I gave my life to the Lord, because I had gotten baptized before, but it was more mainly for show. I didn't really have it in me, and I did things. I was just more or less the Sunday Christian we all hear about, the bad Sunday. I'd leave and thought that I could, you know, be all right the week and come back and feel good and then go back home and do the same thing. By help through Pastor Jeff and a lot of prayer, I opened my eyes to what I need to do and the things that I need to do the right way, getting into the Word. I really struggle with that because for a long time I never did, and it's something new that things are being revealed that what I need to do as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, the things that I, as far as with my family, what I need to teach my family, and, you know, things that I need strength in, and with a lot of prayer and a lot of blessings over the last year, I gave my life to the Lord and asked him to come to my heart and forgive me for my sins, because I know I'm not worthy. but he can help me, and with a good Christian family, I'm on that right way.
My testimony, the reason why I chose to give my life to Jesus was before I was, went to this church, a very misbehaved kid, in and out of the principal's office, phone calls home, teachers talking to my parents about my behavior, not listening to my parents. And then I got to a point where I was having to get homeschooled, and I did not want that. So I started straightening up and listening to church, and I started to feel God in my heart. So I became where I accepted him and confessed of my sins. And this is why I decided to follow Jesus.
Amen. Who's doing the birthdays? Whoever has a birthday this month, stand. There's a lot of them. There's three on the same day, right? Yesterday was Rose, Gary, and Micah. Okay. So we want to just acknowledge you guys, and let's sing happy birthday to them, right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to all of you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. I'm personally grateful that I have another year with my wife, and I pray I'll have many more. Yes, sir. Yeah, right after the baptism, that we'll have cake. Okay? And Anthony will eat it all. All right. Okay, we're going to go out. All right? Tim, you guys might want to.